Today's message is entitled Stephen or Stephen, a man of faith. And so here is taken from the passage that we have just read in Acts chapter 6 and chapter 7 and also a portion of chapter 8. And this Jim Elliot, as many of you are aware of who he is, so just to illustrate on this message that I'm delivering, that he, Jim Elliot, is also a man of faith. So on January the 8th in 1956, on a Sunday afternoon, Jim Elliot and his four missionaries, Roger Udarian, Pete Fleming, Nate Sain, and Ed McCully, they were on the shore of this lonely river called Curare River, and they were deep in the Amazon jungle, trying to make contact with the very isolated Auca tribe in Ecuador. And as they were trying to reach out to them, there were 10 Auca men who suddenly emerged from the thick foliage and hurled their spears on these five missionaries. And their lives and missionary endeavors of these five missionaries were cut short by them. So it seemed to us that it was like a waste and tragedy. And moreover, they have wives and children. All of them were bereft of these five missionaries. But you see, Jim Elliot wrote in his memoirs, which gave us a glimpse of how he understood the gospel. 8 years ago, before his tragic death, he wrote in his diary, he said, "God, I pray thee, light these idle sticks of my life, and may I burn for thee. Consume my life, my God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one, like you, Lord Jesus." So all was not lost, because later on, 2 years later, Elliot's wife, Elizabeth Elliot, and Nate Saint's sister, Rachel, went back to this Auca tribe, and there was a breakthrough with the tribe, and many were saved. And the one of the 10 men who speared the five missionaries, he became a pastor. And so you can see how this tragedy turned out to be good. And as we look at the life of Stephen this morning, we could see that he too understood what the gospel was. He dying a martyr's death teaches us that life is not how long we live, but how well we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not how long we live, but how well we live. So here, Stephen, this name means crown. And crowns during his time were made of olive leaves or laurel leaves and worn round the head as a crown of victory in the Greek athletic games. So judging by his Greek name, he was probably a Hellenistic Jew, a Grecian Jew that spoke Greek, compared to a Hebraic Jew that was born in Judea and spoke mainly Aramaic. So this Stephen may be born a diaspora Jew who was scattered away from Jerusalem and from Israel, and he would have lived outside Judea and Galilee, but may have settled in Jerusalem at one point of his life. So nothing is known about this personal life of Stephen, and we do not know his parents, we do not know his siblings and his family background, or whether he has a wife or children, we do not know about that. But what we know of him is important for our learning, that he was a faithful man, faithful to the Lord even to the end of his life, whereby he faced martyrdom. And so here we can learn this from this man of faith, three lessons. He was consecrated to the Lord, he was a man of courage, and he was a man who in the end crowned by the Lord. So let us look at the first point, and that is a man consecrated to the Lord. And so Stephen was truly a man of faith because he was dedicated to the Lord, and his reputation preceded him, his reputation of his godliness, his holiness. So when the apostles were looking for men to free them up of their duties to take care of the widows, they asked for men full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and they found 7, and one of them was, of course, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, as we see in verse 3. And in verse 5 of chapter 6, Luke once more described that Stephen was not just a man full of faith, but he was full of the Holy Spirit, but also a man full of faith. And in chapter 6, verse 8, he was also recorded as a man full of faith and power. And so, if you were to read and compare verse 8 of chapter 6 with other modern English translation, they would have said that he was a man full of grace and power. So the meaning is substantially the same, because to live in faith is to walk also in God's grace. So here in the scriptures, when it said a person is full of, it means that he is controlled by. He is controlled by the Holy Spirit in this context, and controlled by his walk in the Lord. So Stephen was a man just like you and me, but he has yielded his life to the control of God, to his spirit. He was no superman, but he was an ordinary man who believed in an extraordinary God. And he loved this God of his, and he served him and yielded his life to him to live a spirit-controlled life and abounding in faith, wisdom, and power, so much so that he was given the gifts of performing signs and wonders amongst the people, so as to bring glory not to him, but to the name of Jesus. And in verse 10 of chapter 6, he was a man full of wisdom, as the people or the Jews tried to antagonize him, tried to argue with him on his preaching of the gospel. He was able to stand up against them, and they were not able to stand or to triumph over his wisdom. So this Stephen, a man, an ordinary man, dedicated his life to the Lord. And therefore, it is a question for all of us. Do we, like Stephen, as a man, as a woman, would dedicate our life to God? Would we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit's control over our lives? When the Holy Spirit prompts you, and when the Holy Spirit teaches you from God's word, will you be willing to say, "Yes, Lord, I love you, I obey you"? And therefore, to Stephen, no matter what ministries that he was given, he knows that he was in the Lord's service, the King of Kings' service. No ministry was too low for him to undertake. And he knew that this God he believes is the God of glory. He's a glorious God. And so he was a man chosen to serve tables. Serving tables is not the cleaning of the tables or serving food to the widows at the tables, at the dining tables. A table is actually a place where a money changer would do his collection or exchange of monies. So Stephen and the six men were actually at the tables to oversee the distribution of the monies that were collected and the giving of the monies to give provisions to the needs of the widow. It was a very hands-on ministry. It was a very laborious ministry. And to Stephen, there wasn't any murmur. There wasn't a murmur and to say that, oh, I'm so gifted in my knowledge of the scriptures, I'm able to perform signs and wonders, I can be as equal as the apostles, and moreover, I'm gifted in wisdom, and I'm gifted in faith and power. Why am I doing all these things? There wasn't any murmur from his lips. Because why? He has consecrated his life. He know that he know whom he believed, and therefore he loved God, and whatever appointment that he was given, whatever task he was given, he knew that it was a privilege to serve God. And so what was the outcome with his attitude? And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So because of his attitude, and of course the other six men's attitude, they were able to free up the apostles of their duties, and because of this, many came to believe in the Lord. So there's nothing so-called less prestigious ministry in when we serve God. Whether you are a wife, you are also serving God at home, whether you are cooking in the kitchen, mopping the floor, cleaning the windows, or whether you are in church serving in the scene, behind the scene, doing work that is laborious and nobody knows what you have been doing for the Lord, is not, there's no such thing as prestigious and less prestigious ministry. All is service in the Lord. So a consecrated life means that whenever we are given a ministry, we take it as a privilege. We take it as a privilege. And someone says that there are no menial jobs, only menial attitudes. So, what is our attitude when we are given a ministry or service to serve, whether it is behind the scene or whether we have to be in the forefront? We ought to regard it as a joy to be able to serve who? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I remember after graduating from Bible College, I met one friend of mine, and when he asked me what am I doing in Life Church, that was when after I graduated. Then I said, oh, I'll be in charge of the children's ministry. Then he exclaimed to me that, isn't this a waste of what you have been studying? Isn't this a great waste to be in charge of children when you have a degree in theology? But I replied to him that, remember what Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. No work in the Lord's service is menial. No work in the Lord's service is considered less prestigious. And so I was explaining to him, and he just walked away after that. So up to today, I'm still in charge of the children's ministry. I'm called the Gina Tao. You know, Gina Tao means, in Hokkien, means being childish, but if you literally look at it, it means the head of the children's ministry. But so here we can see that even as we wait on tables, when we are asked to wait on tables to be a servant for the Lord, whether be it what kind of service, we must always remember it is the Lord's appointment and is given as a privilege from the Lord. So be like what God spoke through Jeremiah to Baruch in 45, verse 5 of Jeremiah, it says, "Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not." So let us serve the Lord with gladness, to know that whatever service He has given to us, don't drag your feet to it. Serve with gladness. God is humbling. God is asking us to humbly consecrate ourselves to Him and to His service. So let us not to be full of ourselves, but be full of the Holy Spirit in us, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do His work. So as He grows His fruit in us, the fruit of the Spirit, we may be ambassadors for Him, to be a light to the world for Him, for His glory. And so here we have this Stephen, full of faith and Holy Spirit, and therefore he was, and all this because he consecrated his life to the Lord. And the second lesson we learn this morning is that he is courageous in the Lord. And Satan knew full well that if he doesn't stop Stephen, if he doesn't stop or silence him, Stephen would turn the world upside down like the apostles. So we read in chapter 6, verse 9, that these Jews from this synagogue of the libertines arose. And this synagogue of the libertines, they are actually descendants of the Jews who had previously been bondage or sold to slavery to Rome. But they have won their freedom from Rome at one point of their time, and therefore they came back to Jerusalem to have an identity of themselves and form this synagogue. And these people, there were a number of them. They were the Cyrenians, that is located in the North Africa, and there's the Alexandrians that were from Egypt, Cilicia. This is familiar, is where Paul was, hometown was in Tarsus, that is at this Asia Minor of today's modern Turkey. And also Asia, that is the central Turkey. So here we could see that this group, this synagogue of the libertines, they disputed with Stephen, but they were not able to resist or refute his wisdom because of the spirit by which he spake. And so this spirit here is commonly understood as the Holy Spirit that aided this Stephen to refute what they are arguing against the gospel. But it also, this spirit also means the energetic zeal, that honesty, that sincerity Stephen has, that courage that he has against this synagogue Jews and even the ruler of the synagogue. And so truly, this Stephen was courageous, so much so that these Jews hate him like anything. And they went so low as to suborn men, that means to secretly instigate or bribe men, to set up false witnesses, to lie in court, to stir up the people, and drag Stephen before the Sanhedrin. And they accused him on 4 points, that he blasphemed God, and also he spoke against Moses, the temple, and the law. So they charged him with claiming that Jesus would destroy the temple and the custom that Moses had handed down. So they are saying that Stephen was destroying the religion that they have. So when the Sanhedrin gazed at him, looked at Stephen, they saw him that he had been the face of an angel. So Stephen at that time radiated the holiness and glory of God. And certainly the members of the Sanhedrin would have recalled that this Moses that they believe in also had this face radiating with glory when he descended from Mount Sinai. And so they would have realized that God is with Stephen, but they rejected all this. And they would have also known that if someone with that kind of disposition, that faith, it was like God telling them that this man is not against Moses, This man is like Moses. He is my faithful servant. But they refused to listen to what is appeared before them, and because their heart was hardened. And so we could see that Stephen was a man of courage because of God's presence with him. His face was not filled with terror or fear, but his face was radiating like an angel, knowing that God was present with him. He knew that his life was in God's perfect plan, and he was in God's hand, and that this Jesus, whom he believed, would never forsake him. And therefore his face reflected the perfect peace and confidence of the one that he knows and believes in. And so therefore, he was a man of courage. Even though he knew that this Sanhedrin council would put him to death, he boldly spoke the truth just the same. And he says that this boldness is because he was full of the Holy Spirit. And he trusted that the Holy Spirit will give him the word to speak. I believe he would have known these words from Luke chapter 12. He says in verse 11, "And when they bring you unto the synagogues, unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say." And so this is something that we have to learn, that when we are being questioned of our faith, when we have to stand for the Lord, there'll be times when you wonder what you should say to your boss, to your colleagues, to your friends, to stand firm for Christ. Always remember that the Holy Spirit that's in you will give you that wisdom to answer to every man the hope that is in you. So Stephen had that courage. He stood alone amongst the 71 Sadducees, Pharisees, the elders, gazing on him, and then he defended himself. And in chapter 7 is his long message or long sermon to them, whereby he weaved in the scriptures, the Old Testaments, and to bring in the message of the Messiah, and how they have, like their fathers, rejected this Messiah, rejected God. And so his hearers, when they realized that he was targeting at them, and therefore they became very enraged. But here we could see that in this long sermon, Stephen did not waver. He was clear in his message. He was strongly rebuking them of their hard-heartedness. And so in verse 51, he climaxed the message with this strong rebuke. In verse 51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it." So he was using very strong language. He wasn't afraid. He was very courageous, calling them stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, and betrayers and murderers, and they have not kept the laws of God. And so this was a man of faith who stood courageously for the Lord, because he knows whom he believed. He knows that God was asking him to tell the truth, that these people, these 71 men in this Sanhedrin council may come to know the Lord. And that's his heart, that he wants them to believe. And so here we also have a parallel story of Martin Luther, how in 1521 he was called up by Emperor Charles V, And how Martin Luther, when he appeared before him and the rest of the people were trying to persecute him, he said this word is a long quote, but every word is important. He says, "Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the scriptures or by clear reason, for I do not trust either in the Pope or in councils alone, since it is well known that they have often erred and contradicted themselves, I am bound by the scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and I will not retract anything. Since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience, I cannot do otherwise. Here I stand. May God help me. Amen." So, may God help us, especially when in life we come to the point whereby we have to make decisions. Should I compromise with the world, or should I stand firm for the Lord? Should I cook the books, or should I not? Should I cheat? Should I not cheat? Should I lie, or should I not lie? Should I do evil, or should I not do evil but do good? And should I be pressured by my friends to join them to do things that violate the word of God? May we have that courage like Stephen, have that courage like Martin Luther, and say that it is not safe nor right to go against conscience. I cannot do otherwise. Here I stand. May God help me. So may we have the courage like this man of faith, men of faith like Stephen, men of faith like Martin Luther. And so remember, they are men just like you and me. And therefore, if they are able to do it by the Holy Spirit's power, because they have given their lives to Him, how much more we ought to stand courageously for the Lord. And the third lesson we learn is that Stephen, towards the end of his life, he was crowned by the Lord. So even as Stephen exhibit that faith, showing that he was truly a man of faith, consecrated to the Lord, he was a master of the scriptures, even changed his circumstances as the Lord's plan. And so here we could see that they did not relent in their persecution of Stephen. In verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. So here, gnashing on him with their teeth means they grind the teeth. Very enraged, very infuriated against this Stephen. And likewise, they did that for Peter in Acts chapter 5, 33. So they were filled with hatred against this man of faith, and they were not filled with repentance at all. There was no love. There was a complete rejection of this message from the Lord. But Stephen, in great contrast, he was full of the Holy Spirit. He beheld all their angry faces, but he turned away from their faces and he looked and gazed upon heaven, looking at his glorious home that he will go to, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And therefore, in verse 56, it says, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." So the Son of Man is definitely a messianic title for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you were to read Daniel chapter 7. And Stephen's use of it was one more witness that Jesus is indeed Israel's Messiah. That's why they got more enraged, that they want to stone him and to say that Jesus was at the right hand of God. As you know, the majority of the Sanhedrin council, they were against a resurrection. They don't believe in resurrection. So, therefore, they were so infuriated, but Stephen did not waver in his faith. He knew that Jesus is welcoming him. So this Jesus whom we know is a Jesus who called us his friends, a Jesus who is not aloof, very stern, very fierce, but there's this relationship with this Jesus. And this Jesus whom Stephen believed is welcoming him. He is no more seated, he was standing. When Jesus was mentioned as seated, means he has accomplished all his salvific work for us, all the salvation for us. But here we see him standing up to show how he would want to crown this Stephen, to reward him for his faith. And that's what Revelation 2:10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, I will give thee a crown of life." And so this Sanhedrin, the 71 men, they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. So they were like wild beasts coming on their prey, and they cast him out of the city. They wouldn't want him to be in Jerusalem, and they therefore wanted to plan to stone him. So Stephen was never seen as gnashing his teeth like them for injustice being done to him, but instead from his lips he prayed a prayer like our Lord Jesus. And so verse 59 says, "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." So here we can see that Stephen, even as the Sanhedrin, cried out with a loud voice in rage. But here Stephen cried out with a loud voice, but with the words of grace, "Lord, let not this sin, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And so this is Stephen's heart, like our Lord Jesus. Even being near to the cross, our Lord Jesus said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And so Stephen's heart went out to his persecutors, the one who was stoning him. Even at his last breath, he desired that they be saved. So such was the one who was a man of faith, a man full of the Holy Spirit. So does the story end with a mangled body of Stephen? No, it does not end that way. It ends with a brief word to suggest something more to come. That word is, "And Saul was consenting unto his death." So here we Luke mentioned the character of Saul, bringing in Saul. And so as far as Saul was concerned, the death of Stephen eventually meant salvation. And God used him to bring the gospel far and wide. And he would never forget the event. And he remembered it with regret in this Acts 22, verse 20, it says, "And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him." So no doubt Stephen's message, prayers, and his glorious death were used by the Holy Spirit to prepare Saul for his own meeting with the Lord on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. God never wastes the blood of his saints. Saul would one day see the same glory that Stephen saw and would behold the Son of God and hear him speak. And so the church father Tertullian famously said, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. So Stephen was both faithful in life and death. And therefore, he is a good example for us to follow. So as women and men of faith, as Christians, let us live well for the Lord. Let us not just live well, but die well, and to be crowned by God one day. And so as Christians, we know that when we die, it is a glorification, whereby God will bring us to heaven. So death for Stephen is he's falling asleep. And likewise for all of us, we are asleep when we die. So we are not afraid that because God has bring us back home. When I minister to elderly folks who are on their verge of going home to the Lord. Some of them express their fear, but thank God when I bring the word of God to them, especially Psalm 23 verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of God encouraged them that they have no fear because they are just falling asleep, because when they open their eyes, they will be right in God's glorious presence. So we are all falling asleep, and not now, but one day when the Lord would call us home. And there'll be more to come, that Jesus will come again, and our soul, our body and soul will be together, and we will have immortal bodies. And that's our glorious hope that is waiting for us. So even as we live this life, we ought to live well, we ought to die well, and one day to be crowned by the Lord and commended by Him, well done, good and faithful servant. So today, are you like Stephen, a man of faith, full of the Holy Spirit? You can be, if today you think, I'm not like that, but you are. Stephen is a man, just like us, as I emphasize again. So we ought, therefore, to live a life well for the Lord, not just a long life, yearning to have a long life, but a life that is lived well for the Lord. Would you consecrate your life to the Lord? Would you have courage to stand for the Lord? And would you long for that time, for that day whereby you be crowned by the Lord? So I would like to repeat what Jim Elliot said in his diary again. God, I pray thee, light these idle sticks of my life, and may I burn for thee. Consume my life, my God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one like you, Lord Jesus. May we be a man, a woman of faith, and let us continue to press on in this life. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to praise and thank you that you have given us this record of Stephen in the book of Acts. Help us, O Lord, to know that he is a man that is full of faith and Holy Spirit. And so likewise, we are men and women, and we too can be like him. Because he followed Christ, we too can follow our Lord Jesus too. So, Lord, help us to consecrate our lives to you and to live a life well for you and to die well for you. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.